We're going to continue our walk through Ephesians this morning. But before we get into our scripture, we've all heard the statements or made the statements, you know, something like, I can never thank you enough, right? Or I can never repay you for ... You know, I'm sure that we've all mentioned it or have heard it. You've seen it in movies, I'm sure. I can never thank you enough. First off, why would somebody be saying that, saying something like this? Anybody? They're grateful for what? Whatever somebody did for them, right? Somebody did something for them, something big, something amazing, something thoughtful, right? And if this hits you like that, where is that coming from? Why did that person do that? Well, it's coming from inside, hopefully, right? They felt this need, they felt this urge, you know, to do something for you or for whoever it is that's saying these things. So it's coming from their heart. Hopefully it's coming from God. God's leading, God's guiding, right? So why is it then you say, I can never thank you enough or I can never repay you? Well, it's kind of hard to put a value on things like that. When somebody pours themselves out to help you, to impact you, to touch your life, or just even to, maybe that's their way of saying thanks as well. There is really no way to truly repay a gift like that. You can say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But if it had a huge impact on your life, you know, it's something that's going to be ongoing forever. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning in our scripture, is that kind of giving, that kind of, I can't thank you enough. So does that mean we don't try, by the way, to thank them or possibly pay them back or whatever? Well, we're going to talk about that as well. We're going to talk about the thankfulness. We're going to talk about that you can't pay it back, but you can still do something. And what we're going to be going through this morning is Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. It's on page 153 of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. Excuse me. Just the first three verses. This is not all of it. Every week I tell you guys that, but there's a lot of it here. Beginning at verse 1, he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Now, I want to read you out of that, mine out of the ESV. I want to read you out of this, the New Living Translation here, because, and I don't often do this, but as I was kind of pouring through, it really strikes home here. He says, "Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we were under God's anger, just like everyone else." Jake, I thought we were going to be talking about good stuff today. The things that we're going to have to be thankful about. Well, we will. I promise. Okay? Why would we talk about this? As Christians, what is our ultimate hope? Heaven? Give me another word. Forgiveness? Give me another one. Anything else? Love? The right place to stand? Salvation? Yeah, that's one that we don't really often think of right off the bat, is salvation. It's all wrapped up in the eternity and the love and the forgiveness and all this. But it's salvation is not usually kind of like right on the tip of our tongue. And what is salvation all about? It's about being saved. It's about being saved. And you know, if we're going to talk salvation, because that's what we should be sharing with the others that don't know God, those that have not been saved, those that need to be saved, salvation is the key of the gospel there. God did all of this. Why? So that we can be saved. That eternal life, that's being saved. That's that salvation. So if we've been saved, what have we been saved from? Punishment. Plain and simple. Punishment. Whether we realize it or not, because whether you came to Christ as a young pup or an old dud, whatever you came as, you were saved from that punishment. Paul calls us children of wrath because that's what we deserve, God's wrath. But we've been saved. We've got that salvation. And what have we been saved from? Well, all these things that he says that we did. He says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. All those things that got between us and God. We were dead to him. We definitely weren't alive in him. So how can you talk about the things that we need to be thankful for unless you know why you should be being thankful? How can we talk about salvation unless you know what you've been saved from? And you notice we're using blanket statements here because for everyone it's different. For everyone it's different. But it's still sin. It's still transgressions. It's still things that got between us and God. It's still things that many of us probably still struggle with, which is where grace comes in. But if you're going to talk about, I can never thank you enough for all that you've done, what have you done for me? I've been saved from this, from the powers that be of the earth. And he says, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience, he says in here. Who's he talking about here that the people are following? The other version I read it came right out and said it. Right? We're talking Satan here. If you're not under God's influence, you're under his. There are no fence sitters. You know, Jesus says, you're either hot or you're cold for me. If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. There are no fence sitters. So yeah, I'm sorry if I'm bumming you out here. But we got to talk about this to get to the good stuff, which comes right next. In verse 4, he says, being Paul, of course, he says, but God, we can just stop there. You were dead in your transgressions. You were not worthy. But God, he's turning the tables there. He says, what now? It says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So by grace you have been saved. You notice the songs we sang this morning, Christina, filled with grace stuff. The grace of Jesus, the wonderful... I can't sing the song. And nothing greater than grace. And you know, I must have inspired her for the stuff when I gave her the scripture. But, yeah, by grace you've been saved. Not because of anything else. And we'll get there too. So by grace you've been saved. But he made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. He says it twice right here. You've been saved through grace. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For if we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. It says, by grace you've been saved. But God, being rich in mercy, when we were dead in our transgressions, as Paul puts it in here, would a righteous God have be just and that's the other word I'm looking for. We'll just go with just. Would He be just and right, how about this, to punish us right then and there at that first transgression of whatever it was that came between us and God? Yeah. As parents, I mean, how long do we go on when our kids do something really bad? Do we go on letting them keep doing it before we punish them? Discipline them, correct them. Whatever word you want to use, we're talking about different things. Sometimes it's just, get away from there. Stop putting stuff in that light socket. You know, you don't... Huh? You only have to tell them once? All right, on that one. Yeah, I mean... But we got to do it, right? And sometimes we got to do stuff we don't like to correct our kids, you know? Because it hurts us as much as it does to... But we have to do it. And that's what God... He would be right to do it at the very first. But He's rich in mercy. You know what else God is? He's patient. We've talked about this in our Wednesday night, because it's kind of why I picked Ephesians, because it goes so well with Romans that we're going through over here. He's patient. He lets us go on. Not so that we can go on sinning and keep storing up wrath, as it says in Romans, you know. Not so that we can sin all the more so that we can be blessed all the more when we turn to Him. That's not the idea here. The idea is He gives us that time that we turn, that we see our need for Him, that we turn towards Him, that we repent. It means to turn away. Turn away from what we're doing. Turn towards Him. Rich in mercy. He's a loving God. He doesn't want, because that punishment from God, I mean, that's end all be all, right? He doesn't want that for us. He wants the good stuff for us. Excuse me. And His great love, which He loved us, even while we were in our trespasses, even while we were still sinners, even when we were dead to Him, He cared about us. Enough to wait. And while God is waiting, I picture God hoping. You know, and if God hopes, you know, then when we hope, you know, we're just imitating God. We're reflecting one of those things of God. When God is waiting on us to, or anyone, to turn towards Him, I just see Him waiting. Whenever I mention God waiting and hoping, I can't help but think about, you know, the story of the prodigal son. I have to go back there every single time I think about it. Because when He let him wander off and go away, it probably hurt. But what do we know about that father in that story? When the son returned, when did he see him? Well, he was a long way off. I picture that dad looking out the windows every chance he gets to see if his son is coming down the road. Hoping, praying, saying, is today the day? And that's what I see God doing with us and with people that haven't come to Him yet, waiting and saying, is today the day? Because of that richness of His mercy and His love for each and every one. I mean, He created each and every one of us, right? Psalms say He knit us together in our mother's wombs. He had a hand in each and every one of us. That's why He gives us hope. He gives us that time. He gives us that. And so when we come to that realization of what God's truly done for us, which I hope that we have done, if you don't realize it yet, let's talk. When we come to that realization, then how can I ever thank you enough? how can I ever repay you? See, by grace you've been saved. He says, not through anything, not through works, because, you know, we talked about it Wednesday night too, because if it was through works, you could boast about it. Look at all the stuff I did to get to heaven. Look how hard I worked and the awesome stuff I did for God to get to heaven. Matter of fact, one of the things that came out of our discussion was, I worked harder than you, so that means I'm better set than you. So the boasting just goes on and on. God takes that boasting out of the way and says, you did nothing. I did it all. So what can we do? It says that we were made for good works then. Good works aren't our way of getting to heaven. It's our way of saying, this is what God's done for me. This is how I thank Him. And this is what I'm going to do. To praise Him, to bless Him, to show grace to others and to bless them. We were made for good works. Good works doesn't make our way there. So, what can I ever do to repay you? Just do it. You know, just do stuff. Just work for me. Do my work. Do what I'm calling you to do. And we talked about it last week. We all have a calling on our lives. We all have gifts that God has blessed us with. Whether we recognize them or not, we all have them. And when we keep them hidden inside, it's selfish. Because God's like, I gave you that to bless, to flourish. Go and do is what He calls us to do. It's what He commanded us to do. Jesus says, go and make disciples, teaching, preaching, baptizing. Go, do. Because of what's been done for you. Not because of the benefits, not because of the glory that you'll get, but to glorify the One that already has blessed us beyond measure. That's what He's talking about here. Be thankful. Excuse me. So we can never work enough to pay God back for all that He's done. But we can sure do our best to show how much we appreciate it. We're being workmen, being part of God's workmanship. Sorry. We're made in His image, saved by His grace, and have been created to show His grace to the rest of the world through those good works. And those works show our thanks to the One who's forgiven us, the One who loves us, and the One who welcomes us home, the One that was out there waiting. And He's still waiting for many, many, many people to turn, to come down that lane, so He can run out to Him, throw the cloak on Him, put the ring on His finger, kill the fattened calf, whatever you want to pull from that story. God's excited when one person turns towards Him. Just one. One at a time. Don't think we got to do it all. Don't think that one person has to do it all. But He welcomes us home, and He uses us to share all of this with others that they may receive that same blessing, be saved from that same wrath, that we were saved from, that they may have that same salvation, that same saving grace. By grace you've been saved. And it's not of your own doing. It's God. It's all God. Let's pray to Him right now. Father, we thank You so much for that saving grace that You have shared and blessed and just showered upon us. We thank You for that love. We thank You for that patience that You have with us when we were still in our trespasses. And we thank You for the patience that You have with us now when we still mess up. Help us do less of that by focusing on You, focusing on Your will and what You have for us to do, to bless You and to show others what You've done for us, how much You care for them as well as us. Help us with any feelings of being timid and fear. We're not made for that. So we ask for that courage. We ask for that strength. We ask for that spiritual backbone to go out and just share you with others. Help us plant seeds. Seeds of faith. Seeds of you into others. That they may have that same grace, that same opportunity, that same love that we thank you so much for, that we continually thank you for. We can't thank you enough, but we will continue doing so, so that you are glorified and that you know how much we appreciate all that you've done for us. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for that sacrifice that made that way for that eternity that we can have with you. We thank you for the Spirit that you put inside each and every one of us that leads us, guides us, nudges us along. Help us get ourselves out of the way so that all of that can do its work in us and that we can glorify you. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we ask your help in this. And once again, we thank you for all that you've done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.